to the second episode of Triple Hop Session Series. I'm Charlie. You can find me on Instagram at CharlieAiling1 and at Craft Can Gang.
And I'm Ryan, and you can find me on Instagram at the Bearded Beer Bloke.
So today we are going to be doing the first of our Room 101 shows on the topic of adjuncts and beer. I think it's going to be quite fun, pretty divisive. I think there's going to be some controversy in there. But before we get to that, firstly, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's listened so far. The support we've had has been pretty overwhelming. Loads of positive comments. I'm really encouraged and glad that we're making stuff that people want to listen to. But as we promised during the first show, we put it to the public vote to see whose picks for craft beer recruitment were better. And it hurts me a little bit too much to say it. So, Ryan, who won overall?
I think I won slightly. Well, not slightly, we're a landslide, wasn't it? 69%, I think, to 31%.
That's 66 to 34, according to my screen. But
all right.
It's not really much of a difference, is it? I got a bit of a whopping.
Yeah. I think it was like we said, though, like a few comments. I think it was down to you just going a little bit left field with the Bottle Logic and the Mills with the kind of hard to get beers, whereas I went a little bit safe, kind of went in for the first show to try and get that win under the belt.
Yeah, I think I made a mistake in referring to them as accessible, because when I said accessible, what I meant was just really easy to enjoy, not easy to get your hands on in a shop. But still, yeah. The people have spoken. People's champion with a one game winning streak.
That's fine. On to the next, and we'll see.
So another thing we said we'd do is that we asked everyone to pop their suggestions for what they'd use to recruit people into craft beer in a comment under the post. And we got some fantastic suggestions on there, as well as in kind of DMs to both of us. And we're just going to read out a few of the ones that we didn't think of and we were kind of kicking ourselves for not suggesting. Ryan, have you got a few in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, some of the good shops were for the pale. Hoptiple Illusion went with Track Sonoma. I mean, for the pale, I mean, it's a great shout. Neither of us picks on that one. We both went a little bit, I think, higher ABV, but for that one alone, I think everyone knows how good that beer is on out of can and on cask. It's a great beer to get someone into the craft beer scene. Yeah, I just think that one was a great shout. We both kind of missed that one.
Beer to Eternity suggested Neil Gets Things Done from Verdant, which that was on my kind of reserve list. I think that is a massively accessible, just like mindlessly enjoyable beer from them.
Yeah, definitely. Then on to like sours. Carlos_Slatos went with Pomona's Moonberry Moon Delight, which was unreal for a sour last year. I actually had that beer in my midway top nine, just for its like, it was outstanding for a sour beer. I mean, close to the North's TFG series, which I selected.
Yeah, I've got to say, there was a lot of love for the TFGs, wasn't there?
Yeah, a lot, yeah. There's a lot of agreement with that one. I mean, I think that was probably the safe bet with that one. Everyone's, like I said on the last episode, it's one of those beers that everyone enjoys, and it's just a completely different outlook on beer as a whole. So I think that was just me playing really safe and going with the fan favourite.
Yeah, I did see from Hoptiple Illusion a shout out for a couple of Alt Cities in there, Strawberry Skies or Strawberry Woo Woo.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout as well. I mean, they're outrageous at the moment, their sours, and so that's their number one thing is their sour game. So yeah, that's another good shout and one that we probably could have easily both thrown in.
Yeah. Got to say, I'm sticking with my stout pick with the amount of love for MCI in the comments.
Yeah, that's the one. I think if I'd have managed to steal that one from you, I think the vote would have been almost an absolute hammering. But
oh, it would have been a better one. I'd have had to quit the podcast.
Yeah, I think that was the one that when you said that, I was just like, but fair enough. It was, perfect. I mean, we had Matt Kelly at Kelly Fired. I don't know how he pronounces. He's going to kill me for not actually pronouncing his actual Instagram correctly. Chose Omnipolo's Noah. I mean, it's quite accessible to grab hold of that beer, and it is a game changer.
It's a cracking beer. We also had a shout out for the Dessert in a Can series by Amundsen from Carlos again, which I think that's a really interesting choice because I've had a bit of a checkered experience with them. I've had one or two that I thought have been great and one or two that have tasted to me like really quite artificial and probably a bit too sweet for what I was after. But like, if you're new to it, that might be what gets you in.
Well, he said as well, like he used to just drink Guinness and then that was the one that actually got him into the actual scene, drinking the little 330 cans. I mean, I've quite a lot of them and the barrel aged series just is mental. But the all of the Amundsen desserts that I've had, they've all lived up to the adjuncts that they've put on the can. They've tasted like a pudding, basically. Yeah, like a dessert. Yeah. They do exactly what it says on the tin.
A really good shout for Game Changer. Another one from Hoptable Illusion was Ouzon by Track.
Yeah, that's one that I noted down. One of my friends, actually, he went to a beer festival last year, went to Oktoberfest at Salt, and he's just, you know, he just likes his lagers. He went to the festival, tried the Track Ouzon, and he was just like, why am I paying one token for a lager when I can be drinking the same quantity of this 10% fruit juice? He just found it outrageous that there was a beer that tasted like that but was 10% with no alcohol.
Yeah, we had one of those, I think the last time it came out, and it was like you'd microwave wine gums. It was so chewy and fruity and dense.
Yeah, that was again, that would have been another good one for this sour series, but as a game changer, yeah, definitely gets my vote.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I've got to say, there were some absolutely fantastic suggestions in the comments. And, you know, we love the level of engagement. We love that people are kind of thinking about the pointless beer conversations that we're having and wanting to have.
Yeah, but these are the kind of conversations that go on with everyone, I'm guessing, over a beer. People do talk about this. So it's just nice that obviously we're just doing it on a kind of a larger scale and people are listening and getting involved and they're also thinking about these kind of topics that we're also thinking about.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd love to keep that level of engagement up. And that's kind of a fairly neat segue into talking about how we're going to run this show. So, as I mentioned at the start, this is a Room 101 style show, which if you're familiar with the TV show, you'll recognize the format that we've shamelessly stolen, where we are going to make suggestions for things that we want to go into the beer bin forever. So things that we don't like. This week is the topic of adjuncts. What we're going to do is make a couple of suggestions each, kind of talk through our rationale for them. I'm sure we're going to argue on one or two. We might even agree on one, though. And then we're going to put it to the public vote as to whether our suggestion should be put permanently into the fiery pits of hell, never to be resurfaced. Sounds so good. Just a little bit of clarity in what we're thinking about here when we say adjuncts. We mean kind of outside of the core four ingredients. So we're not talking about any hops that we don't like or any kind of normal malt. We're not talking about yeasts that we don't like the flavors of. And I mean, lactose is an adjunct. So if one of us says lactose, I'd be very surprised, but that is an adjunct. So what we're going to say is adjuncts that we would like to see disappear generally, like if we think they have no place in the beer scene at all. Or if there is an adjunct that we hate in a particular style, that also counts. So we might get a little bit niche and specific, but with us, we'll give reasons. So, Ryan, what is your first adjunct that you would like to cast out?
I think it's going to be a bit controversial to start with straight away. So my first one's marshmallow.
Right.
I just think that it just seems a bit pointless and a lot of breweries don't nail it and it's like covered up as just vanilla. I've had a couple that have been okay, but there's not many beers that you can have where it actually tastes like a flump or a marshmallow. It's just more a vanilla taste, I guess. That's what I get. I just don't really see it. It seems to get drowned out as well by a lot of beers, like a lot of beers that advertise, like big heavy stouts especially, that say we've got marshmallow in it. No, it's just drowned out. It's just, it looks nice on the label and it looks nice that you could be drinking a marshmallow beer. And I think it's more like a placebo effect than anything. I've had quite a lot.
I think the marshmallow stuff, you always imagine it to be more marshmallowy than it is, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's where it is. And there's some beers. I mean, the only one like that comes to mind that actually does taste like marshmallow. Might get a little bit kicked for this, but it's probably like Tiny Rebel's original Stay Puft on cask. And actually, I remember having that like years ago and having it on cask and going, oh yeah, this does taste like marshmallow. But then like down the kind of timeline, I've had beers that have stayed, even like some of the big hitters from the US, and they've just not lived up to it. To the point where it's like, just leave it alone and just say you've got vanilla in your beer. It's fine.
In the fridge, you've got the Vocation Double Snowball, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you haven't tried it yet.
No, I haven't had that
That is
yet.
a coconut and marshmallow and chocolate stout that actually tastes like marshmallow. I had it at the weekend. I think if you'd had that before this conversation, I don't think marshmallow would be on this list.
Well, we'll see it. I'll have that. I'm gonna have to update on the next
Yeah.
episode. I'll have to update and go, oh yeah, actually, I got that wrong.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. It does often get drowned out. And sometimes, if they do manage to bring it out, it kind of adds a synthetic note.
Yeah, I mean, I had the EQ marshmallow IPA, and that's just tartening marshmallow in my IPAs
No.
to start with. I'm like, if you want to put them in a stout, and I mean, I don't need it in an IPA.
No,
Come on.
you're right. Maybe we'll come on to this in a bit, but kind of that pastry IPA thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems a bit over the top. But then, like, I mean, I did, there's a couple of examples, and I'm like, only recently I had a beer called Spiral Static from Turning Point, who they're nailing the stout game at the moment. Like the last three stouts I've had have been perfect. I mean, I think I sent you a can of one that we kind of both agreed it tastes a lot like Trillium's PM Dawn.
Yeah, the
I
espresso
think,
martini style.
yeah, that was
That was amazing.
unreal. But yeah, I had Spiral Static a couple of weekends ago. It's a peanut butter and marshmallow stout. Like, but the peanut butter it did just taste of peanut and chocolate, and the marshmallow was, if it was in there, was just drowned out.
Yeah.
It was a stunning beer, like really good. And it's not like I'm going out and saying basically it ruins beers. Just for me, I'm going and throwing it out there, just saying it's just a bit of a more of a gimmick on the label.
Yeah. I can't help but think a lot of this conversation is going to be stout focused, isn't it, when we're talking about adjuncts? No?
That's my only one.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we've got one later on, which, well, it does, but yeah, like I said, I'm happy to get rid of marshmallow and throw that in room 101 forever and just leave it at that.
Well, if it's the fiery pit of hell, it might come out nicely toasted. At
Well,
least be
yeah,
useful for something.
but yeah, that's what I'm going with first. I'm gonna throw a marshmallow in there. So on to you, like, what's your first choice?
I'm going to go for the obvious one. And it's something that somehow I've become infamous for now, and quite regularly have people sending me pictures of new products with this flavor that come out. I cannot stand chocolate and orange together. So, orange in stouts for me needs to permanently disappear.
Yeah, I'm happy to like agree on this one. I'm not a lover raver. I seem to get bought a Terry's chocolate orange every Christmas, and every Christmas it doesn't get eaten.
Yeah, I will. I've avoided beers that I otherwise would have bought and probably loved because it says orange on them. I cannot get my head around it. I think in my life, I probably had one chocolate orange stout just because I know that I find that flavor combination generally really objectionable. Like I could just save myself 6 quid and the disappointment. I need
Did
to
you
stop
not
trying to convert myself.
purchase the MCI chocolate orange then over that?
Nope.
That's fair.
No, I
Oh,
didn't.
it was that bad that you wouldn't purchase that.
Yeah, I don't need that level of disappointment. That's the thing. Like every time I try it, it's like I'm trying to convince myself that I now have a grown-up's palate and I'll like chocolate orange. It's like when you keep trying coffee when you're like in your early teens and you're convinced that you'll just be a grown-up and like it one day.
Yeah.
I've been like that with chocolate orange for 30 years now.
And there's people still out there that do the same. They go and order a black coffee, thinking that they're cool and enjoying it, when deep down they wish it had caramel, like
Of course.
caramel syrup in it and milk. It's like...
Yeah. So one that we agree on then, orange in stout.
Yeah, that can go in room 101 for me, but we'll see what everyone else.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a contentious one. I know there are people that love chocolate orange. They're like a tribe. Like, they get really passionate about it. And yeah. I think I've just signed myself up for another 6 months of getting sent DMs with whatever Terry's bring out this month. But it's my own fault.
No, that's a good shout. That's a good shout. I knew that'd be our first one anyway. That's why I avoided it on my list. I was like, he's definitely going with that. I'm not going down the MCI route again of having that one stolen from me. So I was like, I'll stay well away from that.
Straight down the middle. All right. What's your second one?
So mine's a bit out there, this one here, and it is barrel-aged beers that are done in whiskey that represent smoke, so peat.
You know, I thought this might have been on your list.
And it is grim. So there's a big example. In the summer last year, I opened Mills, Plum Slow, Damson and Pete. Really looking forward to it. First mouthful, the first actual few seconds, I was like, oh, this is nice and jammy. And then bam, the campfire smoke hit me in the mouth. And I was then left with the horror that I had to finish off 750 milliliters. To myself of campfire smoke liquid.
I went through a phase several years ago when I was getting into whiskey, and I would go to places and I'd order like Lagavulin or whatever the peatiest, smokiest, horrible thing was, just to try and look cool and convince myself that I liked it. But deep down, I was like, this tastes like disinfectant.
That's exactly it. It's disgusting. And it's like, if Mills had brought that beer out without the peat, it would have been outstanding. With just the Plum Slow and Damson, it would have been, for me, would have been a total game changer in that kind of scene. It was just so good. The first few seconds of that in the summer, and I was just like, oh, that's so good. Oh, no, it's not. That's awful.
But towards the back end of last year, Siren bought out one called Fireside, which was a blended barrel-aged imperial stout, and one of them was peated. And it was just the body on it, brilliant, like good barrel character, definitely a well-made beer. But then there was just that peat thing at the end, and I was like, I can't drink it.
Is that why you sent me the other bottle that I've got sat upstairs at the moment?
No.
I've got like currently sat upstairs to drink as well. And I realised afterwards, I was like, oh, this is going to be lovely as well.
I sent it to you before I tried it, and I was like, this would be good for us to try together. Like, this will be a fun thing for us to sink.
Yeah, well, that's definitely getting opened at the next share. And I know that Matt Kelly, I mentioned earlier, I don't think he's a fan of it either. So, but it will be getting opened and letting him sample it as well. So,
yeah.
The email that we got, like, if you've signed up to the Mills mailing list, Mills have a release on Friday. And it's, I think I'm saying that right. Islay, is that right? Islay Whiskey?
Isla, I think it's pronounced.
Is that how you pronounce it? I don't even know how you pronounce that, but yeah. That's one that I'll be avoiding, just for the same thing of the peated, smoky effects. And just not for me at all. That's... If the marshmallow doesn't go in room 101, then that definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm with you on that one. That'll be interesting. I wonder how many people listening will have had, like, something heavily peated. Or whether people listening will have had, like, a peated whiskey and just know that they're going to need to stay away from a beer with it in.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting one, especially people who actually do like those kind of whiskies, and it will be an attraction, I imagine, that any beer that's barrel-aged in it. Same kind of thing. I went to Dark City and I had a few beers at Dark City, and without stupidly reading what it actually was, you just kind of go, yeah, I'll try that because it's ex-brewery.
Yeah.
And then straight away, just, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's just and I'm like... got to get rid of this somehow. Luckily, it's in like 100 mil pour, so you can just see it off. But no, not for me at all. Not for me.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
What about? So moving on then. What's your second choice?
So this next one is I've never had this in a beer, but it's another thing that I know I hate, like really loathe, and I've seen beers with it in. It's mint.
Oh.
Mint and chocolate is a combination that should not exist. Like, there is nothing I want less after brushing my teeth than chocolate or beer. So chocolate mint stouts. And I know they make them, like, I think Turning Point might have made one. I think I might have seen that.
Yeah, they made a chocolate mint pale and then made a chocolate mint stout back end of last year.
Yeah, see, just mint and chocolate in any capacity, definitely not mint and chocolate in a beer. Even mint on its own, like, for me, mint has such a strong association with brushing my teeth and possibly Indian food. Like, I just can't see why it makes sense in a beer.
So you kind of like, no one buys your Terry's chocolate orange or after 8, then that's the total no-no of Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I just avoid it like the plague.
I get what you're coming
from. Do you like chocolate mint?
No, it's minging.
I don't think we're going to disagree more on these, to be honest.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I don't see the point. It's like you said, it's like brushing your teeth and then eating a chocolate bar. It's just... Mm. But I do like mint, like, on its own, I do like mint. But no, chocolate mint's not for me at all. I'm not a fan. Not even like the little hard-boiled, like, chocolate mints you used to get. Yeah. No. Yeah, we're kind of just ruining this concept because we're both like, no, don't like.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a winner this week.
No, I'm not a fan of that one at all. But yeah, I've got what did you think of what was on the shortlist? I mean, I have a couple more that I've written down. I mean, we'll go through those.
I mean, another one that was on my shortlist, which I think, well, it nearly made it onto the final list, was chili.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had a beer and thought this needs to be spicier.
Yeah, I mean, that is like, it's a good conversation, that one. I mean, one of the first beers I actually had, like, on the craft beer was given to me from Mark, bearded_AF, which was a beer from BrewDog called Neon Overlord. That's right. And it was a chili mango IPA. And it was just like drinking this heartburn. It was just like drinking heartburn. The heat on it was outrageous. The mango didn't really do anything to it. It was quite sweet to start, but then the heat, it's just ridiculous. I was like, what is the point? And that kind of put me off to the point of Mikkola releasing the Angry Chair beer last year, which, if you see Angry Chair for sale, you buy Angry Chair. And this was a chocolate chili stout. Have you had yours yet? I know you bought the bottle.
I no longer own that bottle.
All right. I actually opened that recently and it was phenomenal. It was like really deep, dark chocolate and the chili was just perfect levels. It wasn't spicy, but you could just taste the chili. Like, you knew it was there. It was more like it just tickled your tongue. I'm guessing that's a better way to say it. And it didn't ruin the experience of the Angry Chair Stout. Oh, they actually like really, really nailed it. And, you know, it works perfectly. So that kind of changed my opinion completely. But then
it's weird because I really like the combination of chocolate and chili in food. Like, if I'm making a big, like, cowboy style chili, I'll put loads of dark chocolate and loads of chili in it. And that's absolutely fine. But it's something about the combination of that with booze and like roasty malt that it just puts me off. I think I was like scarred early on. I remember I had a beer by, you know, Ilkley Brewery.
Yeah.
They used to do one. I don't know if they still do it. But it was called The Mayan. And it was like chocolate stout. And I was, you know, I was just kind of getting into it. I suppose I had a bit of a kind of soft palate. Like, I wasn't really hard into the extremes of the beer scene. But it was like infernally hot. I was like, I'm not doing that again.
They actually do. They still do it. So I just looked on taps and someone checked it in on the 10th of February this year.
Oh, wow.
So is 6.5% chocolate chipotle stout. Yeah.
So it's not even that boozy.
Nah, not that boozy, no. But sometimes it happens, doesn't it? And it just, like, all it takes is that one beer with an adjunct to put you off. And then it's then just taking the gamble, I guess, to try something else. But yeah, the BrewDog one wasn't the best beer that I'd ever had that contained chili.
suppose it's kind of like, you know, the first time you get drunk on something like Malibu when you're a teenager, and then you just can't taste anything coconutty for the next 2 years after because of how rotten it makes you feel.
Yeah, mine was the Alcopop Mets.
Oh, no.
With the little man, and he just put me off that like, kind of like lemon lime flavor for like a year. It was just no.
Formative experiences.
But yeah, that was like I said, Chile was on was one on my shortlist. And then I had one more, and this one just needs to never be made again. And this isn't even an adjunct as such. It's a whole range, and it's pumpkin spiced beers at Halloween. They just need to vanish. They just need to vanish. I only had like pumpkin spice like a couple of years ago, like in just a coffee, and I thought, oh, yeah, pumpkin spice IPA, that's going to be fantastic. No. Just no. That's, and I've even had like two or three different ones, and I'm just like, why am I drinking this? It's just, oh, I don't want to just drink cinnamon. Yeah. Like, yeah, what to do with that? I'll drink after shot. Yeah, I'll just drink aftershock if I wanted to do that.
Oh, God. You know, I've never had one. I've never had a pumpkin spice beer. And I think it was like just subconsciously, like with the chocolate orange thing, just knowing that I don't need that level of disappointment.
Yeah. I think it's like, just it was more like the curiosity that kind of got hold of me, and then still went out and bought multiples of them to try them. Yeah. Seeing that people, I think it was like one of these like things where people, you see them on like social media and people do enjoy them. I mean, those that won't make them, so people do enjoy them. I think it's more comes from like the States. They're big over there. A few of the UK brewers had a crack at them, and no, I'm never again. Just I'm kind of, I know now my limits is, yeah, no, I won't be touching those ever again.
So pumpkin spice then, is that going on your firm adjunct list for room on?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like that's going on as well with peat and marshmallow. Yeah.
Wow. So that, I think that's kind of three each now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I think we'll do here is we'll call it on our suggestions. We'll recap what we've suggested each, and then we'll put it up for public vote when we post this episode, and we'll get people to vote on the poll and the stories and comment.
All right. Yeah, that works.
So, Ryan, your three adjuncts never to be put into beer again were?
So marshmallow up first. Any sort of smoky, peated, whiskey, barrel-aged of beers. And then pumpkin spice beers as a whole. Just the whole range.
Mine were orangey and anything chocolatey. And, you know, I have to preface this by saying I've had some nice beers with orange in. Sours and stuff, brilliant. But orange and chocolate together, so orange and stouts, not for me. Mint, just do not need mint in beer, and chili.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good selection.
Yeah, I think we've got six solid suggestions there. Some that I'm hoping are going to divide the crowd. As I said, we're going to pop all of those up on polls, on the story, and also in the episode write up and description. So vote on the story, comment to say if you agree or disagree with what we're trying to put in, and also give us your suggestions for what you'd never like to see put in a beer again. And we'll make sure we read out some of the funnier, more entertaining ones in the beginning of our next episode.
Yeah, I think that works. It's good.
So just before we wrap up again, thank you to everyone listening. Thank you for the continued engagement. We do listen, we do read, and we are going to make sure that we pay attention to suggestions and try and improve the show as we move on.
Yep, that was good. It was easy, that one. I think in the end, I think we've come up with some good ideas, but like you say, I'd be interested to see what the listeners come up with. I mean, they've probably come up with some other outrageous kind of adjuncts, which we can discuss on the next episode.
Yeah, I guarantee we're going to be kicking ourselves when we read the list again.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. So that's it from us today, folks. Make sure you check in on future episodes, and thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.